Thor: Love and Thunder is finally here, and I've got my spoiler-free review for you coming up right now on 15 Minutes of Marvel.
There was an idea.
Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
I can do this all day.
What are they called again?
Anulax batteries.
Harvey Larry batteries.
As far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass.
I control the truth! Mysterio is the truth!
Boom. You looking for this?
What is up? What is up? And welcome back to 15 Minutes of Marvel, the only podcast that gives you Marvel reviews, news, and rumors in pretty much 15 minutes. I'm your host, Ethan Simi. Today on the pod, I'm giving you my full spoiler-free review of Thor: Love and Thunder, the latest Marvel film to hit the big screen. I can't believe we did it. We're finally here. We are in the midst of another project, something that has been a long time coming that people have been looking forward to for quite a while. The first fourth installment of a character in the MCU. This movie, I have thoughts. I have thoughts on this movie, and I'm not going to say good or bad quite yet. I want to leave you hanging in the middle here, because I kind of want it to be a surprise, and I kind of have to talk through this a little bit because I just got out of it not more than an hour ago. Actually, I rushed on home and I decided to hop in the mini Marvel studio and hop right on the mic because I need to figure out how I feel about this movie. I will be staying completely spoiler free, so I will not be tackling any of the ending, any of the post-credit scenes, any major plot points I will not be talking about here on this episode of the pod. But next week, I will have a spoiler-filled review of this movie for you, tackling specifically those items. We're going to be talking about the ending, the fates of some characters, the fates of what could happen next in the MCU, in Marvel, and everything else that is spoilery. So we will be talking about all of that next week on the pod. I want to start this conversation off. I want to preface this real quick because when Thor: Love and Thunder came out, I feel like people have been looking forward to this for quite a long time. This was not necessarily one of my more anticipated movies, or not the most anticipated thing from Marvel this year for me. It's entertaining. I will say that. I will leave a nice blanket statement and say it is definitely entertaining. It is sitting at an 85% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, but it is sitting at a 68% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. Take that with a grain of salt. Take that as you will, whatever that means to you personally. I just think it's interesting because when this movie first came out and reviews started to come out, they were a little bit more gray than people thought they would be, a little bit more wishy-washy, and it debuted in the low 80s and gradually worked its way down to a 68 that it is now. So I think that's interesting. The runtime is 2 hours and 5 minutes, another interesting bullet point here that has been talked about to death of is it enough runtime? Is it long enough? Are we going to be able to do as many things as we wanted? And I will say right now, I will talk about the runtime for just about 30 seconds, because if we had 2.5 hours, this movie would have been worse. This movie would have been worse because I don't think this movie necessarily found the right footing that could have stretched to 2.5 hours and made it valuable and made it important. It's possible that we could have gotten more important Gore the God Butcher things, and I will talk about that as I kind of go through each character here. Because I've got thoughts on each and I want to kind of talk about them as we go, but I see it could be possible, but I just don't think it would have gotten there. News is, and there are rumors and confirmations out there that there were cameos that were cut. There were scenes with certain characters interacting that were just outright cut. There were planets and conversations and entire things, entire scenes that just didn't make this final cut. So who's to say what is out there? Hashtag release the Taika cut. I guess we can start that petition now, because there's probably stuff out there. But let's get into this movie a little bit. We're gonna stay spoiler free, so I'm gonna walk through this here because I'm still processing it. So I thought this movie was good, not great, not awesome, just good. I thought this movie was good. If I had to go Letterboxd style, I'm going with a solid 3 out of 5 stars here. I initially wanted to give it a 3.5, and I thought that I would, but I think I'm gonna stick with the 3 stars for many reasons. First reason being, there were funny moments in this movie, but there were a lot of the moments to me were like, oh, that's funny. Like I would think that's funny instead of actually laughing, if you know what I mean. And I feel like that's not a good sign. I definitely feel like Taika kind of got in his own way a little bit in the first act. It felt very jokey, very comedically heavy. And I felt like it kind of cost us some character growth, some character development, some character focus, really. And instead, we just were slinging one-liners. And some of them hit. Don't get me wrong. I laughed at some of them. But a lot of things for me just like didn't hit. I went with a buddy of mine, and a lot of things hit for him that didn't hit for me. So I might be in the minority here. So keep that in mind. But I just felt like the first act was really reliant on this kind of slapstick comedy that really dumbs Thor down as a character after we've watched him have so much growth in the Infinity Saga. So there was that. And I'm going to keep the conversation moving. Like I said, I've got to talk through this with all of you. Bale is Gore the God Butcher. I want to harken back. I want to come back to Gore in just a little bit. I thought he was very good, electric, menacing. My eyes were glued to the screen every single time he was on the screen, but it wasn't enough. He was not on the screen enough for me to say that is a very good villain. Maybe he didn't quite feel like a villain to me. He felt like someone that was not going after Thor. Thor is a god. Gore is a god butcher. It didn't seem to me that Gore was necessarily concerned with Thor. Gore was only concerned with his other end goal, which is a little spoilery, so I won't tackle that right now. That'll be on next week's pod. If you've seen the movie, you kind of know what I'm talking about here. It just seems as though Thor and kind of the plot point of some Asgardian children kind of being abducted and held in a prison of Gore's felt very MacGuffin-y, and it felt very much like, oh, we have to give Thor a reason to go to a Shadow Realm. We have to give him a reason to travel on the Bifrost on the goat boat. We have to give him a reason to travel through space. That kind of is what that felt like to me. Christian Bale alone as Gore the God Butcher was excellent. I wanted him to be a little bit more menacing, a little bit more dark. I understand tonally why that really wasn't available. And the juxtaposition that we have with Gore the God Butcher literally being lifeless, colorless, and then Thor and Jane and Valkyrie and Korg and everybody in that realm being full of color is really interesting in theory. And I feel like I respect that. And I respect what Taika tried to do there of kind of pitting those two tones against each other. Sometimes it works, but I think most of the time it is a little bit detracting from the feel of the movie. You kind of are like, oh, okay, I got to swing over this side now. Oh, okay, now we're back to New Asgard and we're going to be really, really funny for a few minutes. And then we're going back to Gore and where I'm supposed to take him seriously. It just felt like we were doing a lot of pushing and pulling with that. But Bale was very good. I wanted more Gore. Fun, visually stunning final act. That is kind of all I will say about the final act. I thought there were some really cool moments. And I think this movie I feel like to me, this movie just shines when Thor is badass. Like when you let badass Thor be badass, I feel like that's a win. I feel like everybody wins in that situation. Taika wins because he gets to present something that is visually stunning with a massive fucking budget. And that is what he uses his budget for when it comes to a Marvel movie and a $200 million film. So I feel like that's a win for everybody. And we just didn't get enough of those moments. But in the third act, felt like we got a lot of them. There were cool scenes where I definitely thought to myself, like, yeah, this is pretty sick. Okay, this is pretty cool. Like, I like this moment. This is a lot of fun. Third act, definitely the best of the acts. Like I said, pacing issues, tonal issues in the first and the second acts. I just feel like we're a lot start and stop throughout the movie. And that's me just being really, really kind of nitpicky here because I'm just trying to work my way through this and think about how I felt as I was watching this. Like I said, not enough character development moments for me or emotional moments. We do get that in the third act a little bit. We get some pivotal emotional moments that we sit with our characters. We get to understand them a little bit better. And we have kind of very future-looking consequences or decisions or fates, if you will. And so I think that was good. That was important. Let's go through some of these characters, though, and talk through these. Korg, obviously. Korg is my boy. I love Korg, voiced by Taika himself. I thought Korg was definitely the comedy heavy hitter in this movie. Sometimes he was a little bit much, where you're like, Korg, my guy. Like, let's just have the battle. Let's do what we're doing. You know what I mean? But I think more times than not, Korg was very funny. He's a really funny kind of storyline in this movie, and I like the way things end with him. Honestly, I thought that was pretty nifty, pretty fun, and I'll never say no to more Korg, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I'm never going to say no to that. So Korg was a win. Valkyrie. I wanted more Valkyrie. And I know I sound selfish right now. I'm like, I want more gore. I want more Valkyrie. I want Thor to be smarter. I want more badass Thor. But listen, when it comes to brass tacks, okay, where we were left at the end of Endgame was that Valkyrie was the king of New Asgard and she would be searching for her queen. Does she search for her queen in this movie? No. That's just a flat-out answer. And I don't feel like I'm really spoiling anything there because we don't know whether or not she is in the trailers, but I just felt like that was a big missed opportunity. Like, there are some allusions to, like, you know, oh, she kissed someone on the hand, or, oh, would she be interested in this kind of a relationship? But, like, I thought, what Tessa Thompson brings to this cast, to this movie, and to Valkyrie in particular, is her kind of flirtatious nature, her very out there, abrasive flirtatious nature. And I think she's very good at that. Think of Ragnarok. She has several moments like that where it's just a huge win for her. The sexual electricity that she puts off is maddening. And maybe I'm just saying that from a personal standpoint, because Valkyrie was the plot for me. That was it. That's why I went to go see this movie. But no, for real, I think she could have been utilized a little bit better. And there were moments in this movie where certain characters just kind of bow out, and they have reasons, so it checks out, but it definitely feels very formulaic of, like, let's get Thor on his own, and in order to get him on his own, this is what we have to do. This person has to either get injured or be tired or be lost or whatever the case is. So Valkyrie, I just want a Valkyrie spinoff. That's really what I want here. Jane Foster. I thought Natalie Portman was quite good as Jane Foster overall. I think her character arc was important, and I liked how she played everything out. A lot of her jokes for me just didn't land. Unfortunately, it was kind of rough to get through, especially in the first act when we're trying to figure out the dynamic of everybody. I do like that she comes in as Mighty Thor, and we just kind of like get right into it, and we do get a relationship with Thor. And speaking of relationships with Thor, he kind of has this really funny relationship with Stormbreaker and Mjolnir and his hammers, which I thought was really innovative, and I liked that kind of side storyline a lot. I thought that was a funny way to address his breakup trauma essentially with Jane and moving on and things like that, but in the form of his hammers. I liked that quite a lot. But yeah, Natalie Portman, I thought was pretty good overall. I liked her storyline, and I liked it when she was Thor and when she was powerful. I didn't necessarily like it when she was trying to be a little bit more dumbed down or make funny jokes or one-liners or search for her catchphrase or things like that. I just thought didn't work quite as well. And Gore the God Butcher. I mentioned Gore the God Butcher. Thought Christian Bale was great. I was really hoping for more gore. And finally, Thor. This is, after all, a Thor movie. It is titled Thor, Love and Thunder. So I liked Thor overall in this movie. Chris Hemsworth, always electric, always, fun to watch in this role. And I think he does a very good job of embodying Thor, obviously. There were definitely moments in this movie where I was like, oh man, Thor, I think you're smarter than that. Or like, oh man, I think you're a little bit wiser than that. Or like, oh, you know, Thor is just so desperate for some Jane love. And I get it. He is. I know that. But there were moments where I was like, ah, things could have gone a little differently. But I think he's good. I think he's good in this movie. He's jacked as shit, which is, you know, crazy. Same with Natalie Portman, just ripped as all hell, which is wild to see. And, you know, ultimately, this is Thor's journey. This is his mission. And it had kind of a feeling of just adventure, right? It was just more adventurous. It was a space adventure. It didn't necessarily feel too bogged down or dramatic or emotionally needy. It just felt like a cool Thor space adventure. So if that's what you're hoping to get, I think you will be very, very satisfied when it comes to that. And finally, I wanted to mention the Guardians of the Galaxy here. Minor spoiler. We all know that they're in this movie. I will say, I didn't expect them to be in this movie a whole lot, but I expected them to be in this movie more than they were. It feels like they dipped pretty quick. And like I said, everybody kind of has an out to get Thor on his own, you know, kind of leading into the third act. I get that. But again, with trying to stay spoiler free here, there were some fun moments with the Guardians, and then they took off, and that was that. So that happened. All in all, there were some highlights. There were definitely some highlights, some things that I am looking forward to seeing again on a big screen. So there are moments that I'm excited to relive and review and rewatch. Overall, I think it is a good movie. I think it's a 3 out of 5. I think it's a pretty standard. I do think Ragnarok is better. Even though Ragnarok does have its faults, Ragnarok seems like a more complete package, a smarter play on the character, more emotionally and character driven, and less comedy focused, and less kind of like space, you know, adventure focused, which, you know, two different tones to two different movies. I can understand the argument for that as well. So like I said, a lot of good things about this movie, but I just feel like the good things don't necessarily outweigh some of the more lackluster or average aspects of the film itself. And for that reason, I feel like it's just okay. I feel like it was just an okay time. And, you know, it's fun to watch. I will say that. So I would say going into this movie, if you haven't seen it yet, if you're going back for another time, maybe treat it as just a really solid popcorn flick that doesn't require a whole lot of maybe brain capacity on our ends. And I think that's okay in some aspects for sure. There are moments in this movie that are just funnier or better or more enticing when you're not overthinking and not looking for problems like I am constantly looking for problems. So yeah, 3 out of 5, solid. I will go see it again. Talking spoilers next week here on the pod. Post-credit scene, final act, the fates of our characters, what it means for the future of the MCU, everything. So I'm looking forward to getting into that as well. And I will be tackling Miss Marvel once the series is over as well. I'm waiting for the series to end to give you my full season review. I know I have not done episodes for 4, 5, and 6. The format of this pod has kind of changed, so I'm mixing up the schedule just a little bit. And I want to give a quick shout out before I wrap up the pod to a very new Patreon member, Joey Lett. Joey, thanks for becoming a Patreon patron of this podcast. Joey now gets access to a bonus pod every single month. They're usually about an hour long. They always have really fun guests that don't make it onto this version and this edition of the podcast. So Joey, I'm stoked that you have access to those pods now. I hope you enjoy those episodes. I've got like over a year of them locked up. So we're looking at like 13, 14, 15 by now, which is very exciting. I have a very fun one planned for the end of July. So go to patreon.com/15minutes of Marvel. Just a couple bucks a month gets you access to bonus episodes with wonderful guests and helps support this pod and allows me to do what I do. So thank you so much, Joey, for becoming a patron. I want to know, what did you think of Thor, Love, and Thunder? Hit me up on Twitter at 15 Minute Marvel. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any major podcast platform. Huge shout out to the other patrons of the show. Brana Clark, Alan Cole Peacock, Corellia Christina, TJ Zorch, Jessica, Carlos Freitas, and of course, Joey Lett, like I mentioned. I will see you back here next week, breaking down Thor, Love, and Thunder even more, talking all of the spoilers. Can't wait to get into it. Oh, and one final thought. This might be a hot take. I didn't think the goats were very funny. I don't know. Come at me on Twitter. Come at me. Let me know if the goats were funny to you or not. But oof, not funny. A good pair of not funny goats in my books. I will see you back here next time. I'm Ethan Simi, and remember, always go higher, further, and faster.